Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up tonight, we will have David Oliva. Dave is an aspiring Los Angeles police officer. He's taking law enforcement and criminal justice at Canyon College. And he will be talking with us about why the president shouldn't be telling mayors of cities about impending threats from Al-Qaeda against their cities. And his take is a little tough to understand. He believes that if you tell a mayor, then he has information about not traveling on a jetliner that other people don't have. And we're supposed to be equal in this country. So the mayors of the cities, I guess, are supposed to be at risk equally with the people who live in the city, something like that, bud?
That's what I get.
We'll talk with Dave Oliva coming up tonight on the Phil Hendry Show on this story that broke today about Al-Qaeda threatened to fly an airplane or something into a skyscraper here in Los Angeles. It's like a three-year-old or two-year-old threat that we just now are getting the details about. Anyway, our number is 1-800-449-8686, and we're going to get on the line here very, very briefly. Mr. R.C. Collins, he is a junior academy, junior cadet at, what is the name of the school again? Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. And R.C., I'd like to welcome you to the program. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing really good, Mr. Hendry.
You have a story that you wanted to talk about?
Well, it's a story that I wanted to talk about because of something that I am now promoting. And first of all, it's the story about Oprah Winfrey getting a deal with XM Satellite Radio, and I don't know if you'd had heard about it.
excuse me. No, I have not.
Bad cough.
Yeah, it's I've got a little bit of an allergy that sometimes, you know,
makes you gag up.
Yeah, makes me gag up. So in any event, so Oprah Winfrey, what about it?
I've developed something called the Blozometer. And I want to run her show into the Blozometer and see what it says.
What is a Blozometer?
Well, it's kind of a fun, it's just an idea about, you know, when you say something blows. Well, then what I thought I would do is have the Blozometer rate it.
How do you do that?
It has a recording of my voice, and then it tells you how the Blozometer rates it. So, for instance, I've got the machine in front of me, and I'll talk into it. Okay, Oprah Winfrey has signed a deal with XM Blozometer. What do you think on the R.C. Collins Blozometer? Yep, bean dip.
Get him out of here before I kill again. Okay, so it's bean dip. What do you want from me? Oprah Winfrey has signed a three-year, $55 million deal with XM Radio to launch a new radio channel beginning in September. Winfrey and XM announced the new channel, Oprah and Friends, will air programming on fitness, health, and self-improvement topics with personalities that appear on Oprah's TV program. So in other words, it's just going to be a version of her television show that's in radio.
On the R.C. Collins.
Will you turn that thing off? Turn it off, bud.
Yep. Bean dip.
Get out of here with the...
I bet it's funny.
Get it out of here. Freaking juvenile. The $55 million deal is a far cry from the $600 million deal that Howard Stern signed with Sirius. Winfrey's new channel on XM will feature personalities that appear on her show and in her magazine, including Bob Green, Dr. Mehmet Oz, and Nate Berkus. You know, I'll tell you, just my take on all of this? She's a wildly successful television personality, but you can't take a TV show and just stick it on the radio. It never works. Never, ever works. And $50 million is a lot of bread to even it's... I know it's Oprah Winfrey. Hey, Larry King. You know, they tried to put him on radio after his TV... And I know Larry King was a successful radio personality before he was on CNN. But what they did was... After his success on CNN, they decided to put Larry back on the radio in an afternoon drive slot, and it stiffed. Nobody wanted to hear it. Why? I don't know why. He's a great interviewer. He is obviously has great contacts and got great pipes for the radio. Obviously, he's got a great voice. So why is it that you put him on the radio, and it's...
On the R.C. Collins Blozometer? Yep.
And then there's Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly does a great TV show, okay? He does a great TV show. I mean, I'm not saying the politics I necessarily agree with, but he does a terrific TV show. So how come when Bill O'Reilly gets on the air on a radio show...
On the R.C. Collins Blows-O-Meter? Egg salad.
That's it. These are the things that inquiring minds want to know. And for XM to sign this lady to a $50 million deal, and it, you know, that isn't $50 million right now in satellite radio. The money's real tight because you're relying on subscribers. You're relying on people to subscribe to certain channels. And I have a theory, and I believe it's a theory that will be borne out. The people want satellite radio for two things. They want, if they're going to hear spoken word radio, they want adult programming. And that means, you know, they want the Sopranos, baby, basically, okay? And number two, they want it for the music. Probably the number one reason why people have satellite radio in their car is for the abundance of great music channels. The rest of these shows, I mean, you know, well, what can I say, but...
On the R.C. Collins Blows-O-Meter? Yep, bean dip.
So, I just personally think that it's bread that you catch at XM. Hell, I'm on XM. Why'd you give me that money? Because I'm going to tell you something right now. You better start shoveling that dough my way because television is calling. Yeah, right. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, we have our flashback by request. One of our listeners wants to hear a piece of, you know, material from a show gone by. If you want to hear something, a flashback, just email us at phs@philhenryshow.com. That's phs@philhenryshow.com. And later on in the show, Dave Oliva on the Al-Qaeda threat to big buildings and why mayors shouldn't be told about it because then they got information on what airlines not to fly. Some kind of wild thing like that. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, it's time now for our flashback by request here at the Phil Hendry Show. And it comes to us from Chris, and he says, Phil, the first bit I ever heard was the Peterson autopsy photo bit. A caretaker at an old folks' home was requesting the autopsy photos from Lacey and Connor Peterson. She wanted to settle a wager between the residents at the old folks' home. I remember being so mortified that I could not turn it off. I think it was more offensive than funny, but it hooked me. Thanks, Chris. Well, let's listen to this one. I don't remember this one. It was from June of 2003. Here it is. It's the old lady with the autopsy photos.
Why would you bring these people back to see faces that they've seen in the war and have them relive a horrific past they've been in? And your comment on one simple dead baby?
Unbelievable.
That is what's wrong nursing home.
Can I mention something? Have you
that
ever
is
seen...
the problem.
Have
I
you...
worked in the nursing home. There are many other things that you could do for them people.
Like what?
To show them.
Like what?
That you care.
What?
Other than bring up something just so disgusting.
Well, they're
you
the ones
be
that want
to encourage them.
They're the ones that
want
to see it. They're the ones that wanted to see it. All right.
Oh, come on, lady. Faces of the past, the evil. I've worked in nursing homes for 12 years. I've never had them happy sitting down watching anything to do with murder or horrors or anything. I think you're encouraging this.
Now, that is not fair. That is not fair. I am not encouraging.
No,
they
no,
said
no,
to me.
Do you think maybe the Petersons are happy with your comment? I'm one simple dead baby or...
No kidding.
They got murdered.
I want to ask you a question. Have you ever seen Silence of the Lambs?
Oh, I sure have.
All right. That is the number one rental in our senior center at the day room on Saturday night. They love Silence of the Lambs.
I find it apart. I can't believe that they want to sit down and look at autopsy photos.
They want to see that. They love
faces. I think you just want to be on the radio running your mouth. Because if they do, don't you think this is going to make the war come back at them? You said
no kidding.
They fought for us.
Yeah, absolutely. These guys have been traumatized. Now they want to see Faces of Death.
They re-traumatize them.
And you're telling me they like all four volumes of Faces of Death?
No, there are five volumes. We have them all in our day room.
Faces of Death? What kind of psycho ward?
You know, I thought the Vietnam vets had problems with flashbacks. It must be none of them's at your place.
You know what you
sound
like?
You don't think
like,
this is going to hurt them any?
You know what you sound like, Amy, to me with your bad phone?
No,
your
lady,
because
I'm telling you, I've never called the talk
you
of a
sound like a
right.
Rube.
But when I turned on the radio and I heard you,
rube.
I was disgusted.
Good
I really don't believe people
giving you less
of
phone, but you're not too far removed from two generations of poor white trash. And oh,
not
how the boys found you. All those sticky, tired fumblings in the back of your car. But too old because we could dream to get out. Get anyway. Get all the way to the FBI.
I can't speak to this
She's
lady
out of
anymore.
Her. She's fruity. She's nuts. She's nuts.
I'll keep taking these people to my house and, you know, having a cookout and taking them out for ice cream and going to cookouts.
You're taking them to your house to do what?
Doing.
You're taking them to your house to do what? Now, that's sick.
To have a cookout, have ice cream, watch my son play baseball.
Yeah, sure.
And watch them smile and laugh and know that they're cared about. Not so they can go to bed and have nightmares.
Are you
and
making...
relive the path of the world.
Are you making some kind of porn or something like that?
Lady, I'm not going to get any kicks off looking at a dead baby or a dead lady. Never. All right? I feel very bad for anybody involved in that.
Well, we have a lot of fun at our senior center.
You look at them. You shouldn't be fighting so they can see them.
We have a lot of fun at our senior center.
All right,
well,
your face is a death.
Well, that doesn't sound like fun to me. I wouldn't put my mother there.
Well, then maybe you ain't. Well, I don't doubt that because you don't sound like you're a whole lot of laughs to me anyway.
You know what? They love me. I'm one of the number one CNAs around here. Guaranteed, baby. I can make them more happy than
right.
Sitting back and doing what you want to do.
You
with
sound,
them.
You sound
and
good.
I'm kind of appalled, actually. I'd like to know where you work, how to get a hold of them.
Joyful
and
Union.
I would like to have your library changed.
I work at 123 Happy Drive in Fun City.
And then, of course, the obligatory belch. There she is, Clara Bigham, on the bets they're taking down there at the Joyful Union Retirement Center. Oh, God. Don't even want to get into it. Don't want to go there. And that's by request. If you'd like to request a flashback of some material you've heard on the Phil Hendry Show in previous days, all you have to do is email us at phs@philhendryshow.com. That's phs@philhendryshow.com. As you know, we have a standing offer. A standing offer that if I can see my name on the roof of your house from the Google satellite, the first person who has that name on their house and I can see it from the Google satellite wins $10,000. Now, here's the thing. Because already some people are getting cute. See, they think they're real smart. Number one, you don't send me a picture. Hey, see, Phil, here it is. Yeah, right. I got to be able to go on to Google site to where it says Google Maps and then hit satellite and I got to be able to find it there, not some picture you photoshopped. What do you guys think I was born? What do you think? I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night.
I'm burning germs, Jesus.
All right. Some of you cats. Anyway, if you do that, if we can see it on the Google satellite. Now, one of the things about the Google satellite, when you go to Google and you hit maps and you hit satellite, you're looking at a series of photographs that are obviously a composite that form a picture of the United States. I don't know how old these pictures are. I will tell you that I've seen my house. My house literally was built in 1999. And I put my pool in 2000. And the picture I saw of my house, my pool's in the backyard. All right, so that means they're, you know, the pictures are as recent as 5-6 years ago, but I don't know. Now, it's got to be the very first one that we see, and if we can verify it, you win the $10,000. I want to see my name from outer space or know the reason why. And I've got to be able to see it there on the Google site. So this photoshopping and all of this jazz, get lost. Do you think you're dealing with here, huh? You think you're dealing with some kind of a kid that just invented a blows-a-meter? You think you're dealing with Oprah Winfrey? You think you're dealing with Oprah Winfrey who just signed some guy to her book club only to find out that everything that he wrote is hogwash? Not me. If I have a book club, man, and I find out that the author lied to me, I will string him up and gut him like a steer. I will bleed him like a steer. Anyway, that's just a kind of a side thought. I'm thinking to myself, gee, what if I had a book club and some guy had a book and it was all hogwash and I'd promoted it? Yeah, yes, I would. I would. I'd go to his house and I would gut him and make a mask out of his skin. So we got to be able to see it from outer space on the Google satellite. The first one we see wins $10,000. Here's a, for instance, letter from Kathy Beers in Phoenix, Arizona. And Kathy writes, Phil, I'm wondering if the promo spots you're running on KZON 101.5 Phoenix are true. You say that if we manage to write the name Phil on our rooftop and the Google Maps site can read it, we can win $10,000. If this is true, is this true or just a gimmick? Please let me know, because if it is true, I'll get that money by Monday. Is that a joke? Oh, no. Well, no, you're not going to get it by Monday, Kathy. First of all, the satellite has got to be able to photograph it from outer space. And last time I checked, they're running about 5 years behind in those pictures. I don't know how far behind they're running, but I got to be able to see it on there. Now, this offer is good until January 1st, 2007. So hurry up, get that sign up on your roof, and you better hope that I see it on the Google satellite site or know the reason why. All right, there you go. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dave Oliva will be joining us a little bit later on in the program to talk about the recent Al-Qaeda threat to blow up a building in L.A. And would like to also mention to you at this time our website, www.philhendryshow.com. Now, we have put up on the site tonight the Walter Belhaven, Herb Sewell campaign video that was produced by Bull Haircut from sweetfeatheryjesus.com. Now, Bull Haircut's one of the user, you know, one of the folks over there. He's like one of the cats that goes to Sweet Feathery Jesus, which is a great fan site. And he created this Herb Sewell, this Walter Belhaven Herb Sewell campaign video. So go to our website tonight, and you can scroll down to the bottom of the page and check it out. And I will find out from Herb what he thinks about it. Now, I watched it, and I like it. The problem, I think, with it was done with one of those microphones you get with your computer. So it's all,
hi, this is Herb Sewell.
It's a little bit loud, a little distorted. Now, I know Bull Haircut has done a couple of things in the past that are pretty good. This one is not animated, as far as I know. But check it out and tell me what you think, okay? It's on our website at www.philhendryshow.com. Go to our souvenir shop, too, and pick up the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2005 CD, which is entitled Are You For Real? All the money that we raise from the sale of our CD goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, Dave Oliva.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I saw a really cool movie today. It's called Punk Attitude. And it says what I've been trying to say for years. Not that there's any big deal about where punk rock was invented. Not that it's going to be earth-shattering. Not that it's like discovering a new sarcophagus somewhere in Egypt with the mummy still intact. But the fact is, you know, you think about punk rock, who do you think of? Sex Pistols, right? Right. British, right? Bunch of cats with mohawks walking along King's Road with safety pins in their faces. You think that's where it was invented, right? I bet you that's what everybody thinks punk rock. Punk rock, first of all, it was not called punk rock, but that kind of music started in New York. I've been going door to door. I've been just grabbing people in bars by the lapels and just going, don't you understand? That music that we call punk rock started in New York. New York. 1973-74, Richard Hell and the Voidoids, Television, the Ramones. The British got a hold of it. And the funniest part about all of this, by the way, Richard Hell used to wear safety pins in his jacket. Why? Because he was trying to hold his freaking clothes together. That's why. The guy was wearing rags. So what happens? Britain picks up on this. Kids over there, they start sticking safety pins in their cheeks, in their faces. The Sex Pistols didn't know anything about music until they heard the Ramones, when the Ramones came to London. So it's like everything else. And I don't know, call me a chauvinist. It bothers me. We invented it. Somebody else takes it, refines it, improves it, or makes it worse, however, whichever way you want to look at it, then they sell it back to us and they tell us this is the way it ought to be. It's like the blues. So punk, and the name punk, by the way, never even was applied to that music until a newspaper appeared called Punk Magazine or something like that in New York in the 70s. That's when people started to call it punk rock or punk music, or you know how journalists are. They gotta find something. They gotta find a way to hang a label on it. And CBGB's been around since 1973. That nightclub in New York, which, you know what CBGB stands for? Country, blues, and bluegrass. And the only thing that the guy required, a cat who owned a club, was you got to play all original material. It just so happens all of these very strange bands from New York began to go in there and play there. Now, this whole attitude was transported over to Britain, and at that time, Britain had terrible unemployment, had a whole lot of really bad stuff going on in terms of the youth culture, and so it was really absorbed by young people in Britain. It became really angry. And you got the Sex Pistols and all of that, and the Clash, who actually I preferred. I always thought the Clash was really a bona fide good band, as opposed to the Sex Pistols, who were a lot of fun. They were very funny. Couldn't play. I mean, those guys couldn't play their way out of a wet paper sack. And then, of course, just for kicks, they decided to hire a heroin addict as their bass player. There you go. That's the way to do it. That's the way to ensure longevity. Right? All these other bands, Susie and the Banshees, the Buzzcocks, whoever. The fact of the matter is that punk, like the blues, originated in the United States, was transported to Britain, was then processed through that culture, and then it was sold back to us as some kind of an authentic music. And that's the stuff that galls the hell out of me. Look, I got great love in my heart for the Brits. I really do. They when it comes to music, man, when it comes to rock and roll, they never invented jack squat. I mean, they play it well. I ain't saying I've got good musicians or guys that can't play well. They got fantastic bands, and I love a lot of the music that comes from Britain. I mean, then, now, and tomorrow. I always will. But don't try telling me they invented punk freaking rock. The fact is, just like blues, they heard this thing in America, they took it, they worked with it, and they kind of created their own thing with it, which was basically a fashion statement more than anything else. And, you know, I mean, it was, there's nothing the Sex Pistols did that the Ramones hadn't already done. There's nothing the Clash did the Ramones hadn't already done. The Clash probably just made it a little bit more intellectual, a little more political, which is fine. And so on and so forth and like that, and there you go. But this flick is awesome, and I'm really happy to have seen this, like, sort of, I don't know, validated in this movie. It's called Punk Attitude. You should watch it. They interview Mick Jones of The Clash. Oh, God, does he look bad. Hey, Mick, braces. Dude, what's wrong with braces? What is wrong with braces? What is it with these cats over there, man? Hey, Bucky, want to pass me some of the freaking wood? Oh my God. Look, and I ain't saying I got the best teeth in the world. You know, I mean, there's a little spaced apart, but I do pay semi regular visits to the dentist. But I don't think I'd ever let my teeth get into the shape that I see some of these guys and at Mick Jones with their. Well, you didn't pull any vintage. How do you freaking. Hey, man, the corn on the cob's on the other side of that chain link fence. Have at it. Oh, God. And let's see who else they interviewed. They interviewed a lot of people. Chrissy Hynde they interviewed. And they talked with just a lot of, I can't remember a lot of the people, but it was a really great look at the history of and of that music. And what I really appreciate is they really told the story. You see, history is a story. It's got to be told right or don't tell it at all, man. If you can't tell history the way it happened, get out of the freaking history-telling business. Mr. Scorsese with that freaking movie of yours. I wouldn't even have thought of that, but I was talking to somebody the other day. I was talking to Justin Bartha, who was on the teacher show with us. Justin's from New York. Well, he's actually living in New York. He's from Detroit originally, but he and I both agreed. That movie Gangs of New York, I wouldn't freaking wrap Christmas presents with that freaking celluloid. Sorry, Justin, if you were up for a gig in one of his movies. All right, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show continues. Dave Oliva coming up. What's going on with that Al-Qaeda thing, man? He's going to tell us, Mr. Oliva, an aspiring Los Angeles Police Department officer on the whole President Bush Al-Qaeda threat thing that happened today. We'll talk about it.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, let's talk to Ian. Hello, Ian.
Hello, Phil. Listening to your broadcast, I wanted to call up and correct you on a couple of things you're saying about the music scene. I worked in the music scene in London back in 1978 for Malcolm McDowell and some of the people who was around the Sex Pistols at that time.
You did?
Yes, I did. And I think you're wrong about some of the things you're saying. And I thought I'd like to clear up the record if I could.
All right, sir, what am I wrong about?
Well, it's not right, really, to say the Sex Pistols learn how to play their instruments from the Ramones. It's not right at all, because the Sex Pistols, like Paul Jones, he knew how to play the drums before that band ever heard, you know.
And, well, all right.
And it's just not right, I don't think, to talk a lot of nonsense about punk rock. You know, everyone knows that punk rock started in London. It started in London, and then it came over to America.
No, no, that's wrong. It did not start in London. And
what about the Mohawk haircuts and all of this?
All right, maybe the Mohawk hair. I don't know. The whole safety pin thing started in New York.
Are you sure about that? Because that, I went for a long time thinking that all of it comes up.
Well, no, hold on. Where are you?
I'm having a care. I'm camping out right now.
Where?
I'm in Joshua Tree.
Joshua Tree?
That's right. And I just like to be here.
Are you with anyone?
No, I'm all by myself. I'm just listening to your show on the radio and I'm having a cup of coffee.
Okay. Well,
it's actually just a little cup of Sanka. I've got a Sanka, you know, it's instant.
Right, you're drinking instant Sanka.
That's right.
How is it out there in the desert?
Very lovely.
It's lovely?
Yeah, it's very lovely. It's all stars and everything. It's all out. And all the wolves and all the squirrels and all of that. Where the bloody marshmallows?
Who are you talking to, man?
No, I was talking to myself. I'm looking for the marshmallows right now. I'm going to roast up a couple, put them between two graham crackers, maybe get myself a little bit of chocolate, you know, and put in there, too.
Okay, well, that sounds good. It's like a s'more, huh?
Right, that's right. It's a s'more, right.
Oh, well, I appreciate the fact.
You got a cold?
Huh?
Have you got a cold?
No, I don't have a cold, just an allergy.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate the fact that you worked in the music scene then, and there are a lot of affectations that might have taken off in Britain, but it is not where punk, so-called punk rock, originated.
Well, I don't think that's very happy news to hear. You know, I'd like to believe you, you know, but I don't want to believe you either. I'm just trying to maintain, you know, a peaceful life out here. Under the stars, you know.
Well, then maybe you shouldn't listen to my show, man, if I'm laying out information.
No, I like your show. It's a lot of fun, you know. I love listening to it all the time, you know. Right now, I'm just having some Sanka. I've got the marshmallows I'm going to put on here in a moment, you know.
Have you eaten any dinner?
Oh, yeah, I had some dinner. I've got dehydrated soup. I had some dehydrated scrambled eggs. You know, also, I'm going to have... maybe a little cup of ale a little bit later on. I've got holy Christ.
What happened, man?
It sounds like it's a wolf or something around. It's a wolf. Oh, God, look at the state of me now. I'm all afraid and everything. I'm all afraid.
Well, don't be afraid. It's a wolf. It's an animal. I heard that.
I'm all in a heap. It's frightening.
Well, look, dude, who's clanking all of those?
It's me. I'm so nervous. I'm clanking the coffee tin against the spit that I had a chicken on a little bit earlier. But wolves don't hurt people, do they?
No, wolves will not come near you. You can chase them away. A wolf is just, unless it's hungry.
Well, if I put out part of the chicken,
No, dude, don't lay any food out for a wolf. He's just going to see the...
What's that? Is that a wolf?
No, that's a ghost.
You bastard.
That's a ghost, man. Hi, I worked with the Sex Pistols. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I want to get on the line here. Who is this? Oh, yeah. Hal, go ahead.
Hey, Phil, Hal Levalier here. Hal Levalier and my wife, Viola, we are enjoying your program tonight like we never have before. It is an apocalypse. It is an epiphany. It is a wonderful, wonderful show tonight, Phil. I just wanted you to know that.
Well, what makes tonight so much better than any other night?
Hi, Viola Levalier, dear. How are you?
I'm good.
We are wondering if you're doing all right. We know your mother died. And we just wonder how you're doing.
Oh, I'm doing fine. Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm doing fine.
Because your program sounds a little bit
it doesn't sound like you're on. You know,
I'm not telling you.
Wait a minute, what did he say?
You're doing a great job. We are enjoying it's the funniest show that we've heard in months. Months. Let me don't take it out of my hands, you freaking slut. Give me the...
Wait a minute, I can't have you guys talking like that, okay?
Hold on, it'll be fine. I just
Phil,
you're doing a great job. We think the program's
good. Phil, I you know I like your program. But your sounding, your timing isn't there. Some of the material's weak.
The material is weak. Did you hear the first hour? Did you hear the first hour he did there with that Chris Norton? That son of a bitch cracks me up every day.
Would you guys please either hand off the phone to one or the other, but you both can't talk.
You hear what he said? We both can't talk, can we?
Why don't you fly the plane?
I'll fly the plane and you talk, but don't lie to him. Don't lie to him, you slut.
Well, I'm not lying. I'm saying we love you. We think you're doing a great job. But tonight, things sound a little loose.
She's lying again, Phil. She lies. Oh, God, does she lie. By the way, let me ask you this.
I never lied.
You never lied?
I never lied.
Did you put gas in the plane?
Yes, I did.
All right, well, we'll see whether that's a lie or not, Phil. You sure? You whore! You know? We're going in. We're going in. Mom, I love you.
Oh, God. Helen Viola. God, man. You know, how is it they keep coming back every time they keep crashing that plane? They keep coming back. I don't think they're crashing it. I think right at the last possible second, they're in a nosedive and then they pull it out. Like he pulls the reserve tank lever or something. Oh, wait a minute. Here's some gas here. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Here is a letter from Ryan. One of our listeners, I think it's a good letter. He says, Phil, I'm glad you're enjoying your new job and you deserve every dollar. You deserve every dollar and piece of luxury you get. I am referring to the article that you wrote for the website called Why Not Work in Working in TV, What's Not to Like? However, please tell us that you're not going to be giving up your radio show for real. No, I don't want to give up the radio show. And I'm just saying that when I wrote that article, it's a little essay I wrote for the website, Working in TV, What's Not to Like? I mean, come on, you know, you show up in the morning and there you have your little trailer and you've got your shower and your microwave and your CD player and your DVD player. And then you go onto the set and they have all kinds of food there. And then they got a chair with your name on it and you sit there on your can and you watch all the stuff. And then they tell you to get lost and they'll call you when your scene is up. And they got a parking space for you, and you know, the money ain't bad. So what's not to like about that? But no, radio, I can't have as much fun in television, I don't think, as I can in radio because I'm creating a show every day, right? You're doing a TV show once a week that's an hour long or maybe a half hour long. Because it is so short a time, so finite a piece of entertainment, there's a million people to weigh in on it. When I'm doing a three-hour show a day, there isn't anybody at the executive level or managerial level in radio with the kind of energy that it would take to oversee a show like that, like to edit it. So we get away with murder. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.